Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Red Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Hey everybody, it's me, TT Torres, and make sure you check out my latest interview with DaBaby on Tap In with TT, Hot 97's newest podcast.
Tap In with TT Torres.
It's Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Ebro, no Laura, she's on assignment, and Rosenberg with Kayla McLaughlin today on the program. One time. Bullet.
Now, and by the way, so it's Ebro asked before the interview started, Caleb, if it's McLaughlin or McLaughlin. You said it's Kayla McLaughlin, and yes. I like the McLaughlin group.
And what's that?
I don't know. That's why I asked. I did ask, what is the McLaughlin group? Can you?
What is
it? The McLaughlin group, when I was a kid, when you were a kid, Ebro, every Sunday, you don't remember, there was that TV show, that political TV show hosted by John McLaughlin, and he'd be yelling, and it was called the McLaughlin. It was a big...
I never seen this.
It was like the political TV show of
the
80s.
Your parents were more into that. That was
but
your
was
dad's
big.
Zone.
He was always really? Yelling.
I know. I don't remember.
God, I'm so old. I'm the only person, Caleb, who's ever said to you, like,
well, no,
the McLaughlin
group. I think you're the only person that in the 80s was paying attention to politics when they were four.
Yeah, I've never got that before. My parents have never said the McLaughlin group like that.
Wow, really? Will you ask your parents for me? I am curious if they have any recollection.
His parents. Caleb, how old are you, sir?
I'm 20.
His parents are my age, man.
Yeah, how old are your parents? Mid 40s?
Like 40s. Well, no, I'm bugging. 50s.
50s. Okay. 50s. Okay.
Yeah, so.
40s, 50s, but no, they're both in their 50s now.
Yo, Caleb, how old were you when you started Stranger Things?
I was 13 years old.
13 years old. And tell us about how it started, like how it came together. Did you know how big a deal this was? Had you been acting for a long time already? How did it all start for you?
Yeah, I've been acting for a minute, but I started off in theater. I was in Lion King on Broadway. I did off-Broadway shows. I did cabarets. I did community theater. Well, I started off in community theater, then went to like Broadway, then did like guest star roles on like television shows, and then started doing film. And then, you know, I've done more TV shows. But
he was young Simba in 2012.
Oh, right. Wow. And that was a big deal. That was a really big deal already. That was that the first big deal for you?
Yeah, that definitely was. That definitely was. You know what was funny, though? I did an opera like the summer before I started Lion King in 2012. But I got Lion King first. It's weird. I got Lion King first, but then ended up doing the opera first. And then, yeah, so I think the opera prepared me for the big stage on Broadway.
So talk about Harlem. You went to Harlem School of the Arts, right? Are you from New York City?
Yeah, I'm from New York City. I'm from the Bronx. I went. So long story short, I know a lot of people. Oh, you from the Bronx? I'm from the Bronx, but I moved upstate when I was like 6 years old, so I don't know any street names like that.
So when people start trying to test you, you're
yo,
like,
yo, you
no.
from East Tremont? Where are you from? We're on Grand Concourse.
I'm like, dang, the park. Near the park. Yeah. But I'm from New York, but you know, I have a lot. Grew up there. You know, food. I used to go there all the time. I mean, in the city all the time. I never really stayed upstate, anyways. But in Harlem, I used to dance at Harlem School of the Arts. I took ballet, jazz, tap. I actually, you know, did some workshops there as well. Mr. Aubrey, went shout out to Mr. Aubrey. He's one of my mentors that was there that you know, helped me develop my, you know, my my craft, you know, in dancing and performing.
So your parents moved upstate for the lifestyle, to have a nice place, and then would drive you down to Harlem on weekends?
Yeah.
Wow.
But you know, it just made sense for the family at the time. And you know, when up, you know, upstate, you know, there's land and
oh, it's nice up there, man.
Yeah, it's really nice. You know, my parents wanted my sister and my sisters and I to, you know, have a different lifestyle up there. It's just different, you know, the suburbs and, you know, the woods.
Hey, listen, man, they did the right thing, man. If it works for your family, you know what I'm saying? And now you got your new single Soul Travel, which is out today. Your new single, which we're going to play that song for you, but does everyone know you as a singer, or does, like, your fans, like, people know that this is your passion? This is the first I'm hearing about it, so.
Yeah, not yet. Thanks. Yeah, a lot of people don't know about that I'm a singer. A lot of people don't know about me in general. So I think this is the new stepping stone into who Caleb is, you know? Mm-hmm. There's so much more Caleb than people see. A lot of people know me as an actor. And then a lot of people know me as just Lucas from Stranger Things. Like, a lot of people know me from Concrete Cowboy on Netflix. A lot of people know me from New Edition. Like, there's so many other things. Like, you know, Lion King. There's a lot of people that probably don't even realize.
They saw me. I forgot you was in a New Edition show, man. That's right. Yeah, you bodied that too.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. So, this is what I'm trying to do right now. You know, I'm trying to introduce people to my world. I know. The song that I just dropped, and also the song I dropped in November last year, it speaks to who I am in my life.
How much? I mean, obviously, you've had much more success as an actor than you have had so far as a singer. But talk about the importance of defining who Caleb is outside of the characters you've played, because some actors don't want that, right? Like, some actors, you hear them and they're like, "Listen, I don't want people to know me. I just want them to know the characters." Why are you making this decision?
Man, that's a good question. You know, with my platform, I speak about the things I believe in.
And by the way, and how big is your platform, real quick? Just for example, for people who may be sleeping, how many Instagram followers do you have, for example?
Oh, I have 11 points. So, like, I'm not sure exactly.
You have millions.
Points. But so like 10, 10, over 10, 12 million people.
Yeah, I think like 11 million. Yeah.
Okay. So you have a large platform whenever you want to say something. I'm sorry, continue on.
Yeah. No, it's all good. And I believe that with my platform, if I want to speak, the things that I believe in, I feel like it's positive, and I feel like it can help people in, you know, their everyday life. And I want people to get to know me and who I am, because they're going to be seeing me on screen. And, you know, you need people out there that is encouraging other people. You need people to... Everyone always wants some type of, not advice, but just like, you know, this is what I do in my life. And, you know, someone, like, a lot of people have told me I put a smile on their face. A lot of people have told me that, like, you know, when they see me, they keep going. They want to live another day because they see me.
So you're leaning into being a role model.
I guess so, you know. And yeah. A lot of people ask me, is it hard to be a role model? And I'm like, well, when I'm being myself, it's not. Like, this is who I am. I always like to help people. I always like to give advice. I like to... you know, just be a friend, like a friend to lean on, you know? So, I feel that people just, you know, me introducing people to my life and bringing them onto things that I love and that I like, my music, and what's, you know, what God has, instored into my life, my parents have stored into my life, my thoughts, you know, a lot of people can relate. So it's cool, you know? Well,
and you must also, like, I wonder if you think about this, Caleb, like, you play a really interesting role on Stranger Things. Stranger Things, without you in it, would feel like a very white story. And I don't just mean because of the characters, but because of what the show is about. It's something that generally in America we associate with a show that, like, would be very big among white people. And while black people would watch it, they wouldn't feel any representation. So you also play a real representative role by being on that show. Is that something that you hear from people about?
Oh, most definitely. It was funny. I was talking about this the other day, and I was like, you're never gonna miss me.
Right.
Like, you're not gonna miss me. People are like, I've seen Stranger Things. Are you in it? No, don't do that. No, you've seen it. Yeah. I always make a joke like, yeah, I'm the black guy in Stranger Things. Yeah. I'm Caleb. I'm evolving. This is not the black guy in Stranger Things. I'm Caleb McLaughlin in Stranger Things. I play Lucas. But yeah, you won't miss me. You won't miss me.
Are you guys all close? How close is the cast of Stranger Things? You guys have grown up together.
Yeah, nah, for real. Actually, I reached out to them. Right now, I'm filming out of state right now, so I'm going flying into New York tomorrow, and we're about to do our premiere. We're about to do our premiere in New York, and everyone's like in the group chat, like, "Hey, I can't wait to see y'all. It's gonna be so much fun. Let's do something. Let's go out to eat." So, yeah, we're real close.
I'm not up at all on Stranger Things. So, wow.
I know.
Seasons now?
I told him. Whoa!
You're not even up on Stranger Things. Why are we doing? Wow, that's crazy. Why am I here?
Wait, you just said you're more than that, Caleb. You should appreciate
it. I'm getting to know Caleb, man. I don't know this Lucas cat, man. I know Caleb, B.
I got you.
No, it's season 4 we're getting into, right?
Yeah, season 4. But
3 was crazy, bro. 3 was fantastic, man. Caleb, it was a great season, man. I can't believe it's – honestly, I was worried at first. I was like, is this show going to be good when they're older? Or is it, and it works just the same, man. It's a fantastic show.
Can you watch this with the whole family?
Yeah.
Oh, this season? I don't know about this season.
Really?
This season's like...
I got a 7-year-old. We love to have a show.
I think you're probably safe the first couple of seasons. The first 3.
Y'all done grew up. This is y'all grown up.
Yeah. And I touch on that. Us growing up. A lot of people are like, oh my gosh, they can't do the show anymore. They're so old. I'm like, you know how our characters evolve with us, right?
You're not Lisa and Bart from The Simpsons where you guys are the same age forever?
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah. I'm like, wait, do people not age? Do people not have people around them that age? Like, it's funny. It's the people that grow up with us and they're like, oh, the show can't be done anymore. They're getting old. I'm like, didn't you get old with me? Like,
you got old. Yeah, it's a great point. Like,
we grew up together. I was 12 yesterday. Weren't you 12 yesterday? Like, what?
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
So when did you realize that with everything you did, I mean, obviously The Lion King changed your life, but when did it start to click that Stranger Things was going to completely change your life?
Man, I feel like there's levels to this in the beginning, it was like fans that hit me up, like DM'd me from Brazil, then like going on the Jimmy Fallon show, then traveling around the world, then just like, doing a season again and then having a super big premiere and like other celebrities, just like people that you look up to, like following you and like they're like fans of you and wanting to work with you. I'm like, man, I feel like each like stage of Stranger Things or just my life and my career is like a different level. It's weird. It never like stops where I'm like, wow, yeah, this is where I realize like, yeah, I'm like, you know. I feel like a normal person. I don't even feel like I'm a celebrity. I don't feel like the show is so big. I'm like, I was a part of this indie film. This TV show is like an indie film and we all did it. It's, you know, I love the craft. I love the art. And I was like, I'm willing to do the show. And it just became like, you know, a super like classic, like a hit. You know?
Did you guys re-up your contracts in the middle of it?
Hey man, I don't know. I just do the work.
Great answer.
You let mom and dad handle it?
I'm gonna let my mom and dad in. I trust them.
I think they did all right by you so far.
Yeah, I'm sure you're good. I'm sure you're Gucci. Yeah.
Caleb, you talked about people following you on your platform and you using your platform to not only communicate what's important to Caleb, but also try to help people. In that you know, I'm sure people look at your life as perfect, right? You got everything. You got a hit show, and you can sing, and you can dance, and, you know, you have this life. But how do you go and help people who maybe don't understand that you're going through hard times, too, with your family or friends or different struggles that you may have just as a human being? Because we all have them.
Like, recently, my cat passed away. That was a big deal for my family, you know. I'm trying to think, like.
Well, even talk about going through puberty in front of the camera. I'm sure that was, you know, yeah. Just your whole body changing, your whole person changing while you're literally filming a show. Like a lot of child celebrity, you know, child actors and singers deal with that.
Nah, for real. I feel like I went through, like a lot of teenagers go through puberty and they go through this, like, weird, awkward stage where they just don't want to be around people. They don't want to take pictures, and they go through this, like, weird, ugly stage. I was on camera. I was at red carpet events when I went through that, like, weird stage.
Right,
where you're feeling yourself, and, you know, it is just like that, you know.
Who helped you, the most during those times, though? Like, what helped you, or who helped you when you just weren't, you know, feeling your best self?
Yeah, God, for real, you know, my parents. You know, I have this hashtag, this campaign that I started a long time ago called Be Your Biggest Fan, Embrace Your Face. It actually started around, like, when I was, like, you know, and going through puberty. Like, it was about embracing who you are, being your biggest fan, because there may be a day where you're not feeling yourself, when no one's feeling you. But you got to learn how to love yourself at the end of the day. When no one else is with you, you're dealing with yourself. When you're in your room, when you're, you know, in your bed at night, you got to learn how to love yourself. You know what I'm saying? So, and no one else has your back besides you, you know? And this is something that my parents have instilled into me in my life. So I wanted to show that and, you know, portray that to my fans and, you know, show them that, like, you know, do things that you love to do, like, to gain that self-confidence. Go out there, do things that you're not used to doing. Embarrass yourself. It's okay to embarrass yourself. It's okay to mess up. It's not everyone's perfect. No one's perfect. You know what I'm saying? You're perfect in your own way. And, like, a lot of this, like, you know, all the things that we worry about don't really matter, for real. You know?
I think it's powerful, you know, when, you know, as you said earlier in the conversation, you were like, I'm the black guy from Stranger Things. Right.
Yeah.
You're the only black character on a predominantly white show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not the only, but primary. The primary.
Like, season one, I wasn't the only, but, you know, I was the primary season one. But, like, now season four, we have more additions to the cast, which is great. Even, like, Priya, she's my younger sister on the show, so she's a great addition to the cast. But, you know, that's...
But even in that, that's challenging, right? Like, that in itself presents challenges, being, you know, the one of something. Right. Whether that's being a black person, whatever. So I'm sure that presented challenges when you were young as well.
No, 100%. Like, I love being black. You know what I'm saying? I don't deny it any time of the day. But, you know, when you're referred to as the black kid and then everyone is referred to as their character.
Yes.
It could be like you question that, you know, but then it's like you can use that and, you know, I joke about it. You can use it, like, you know, be funny. Like, when I'm doing interviews, I'm like, yeah, the black guy on the show, you know. But I don't really take offense to it because, you know, I'm kind of used to it. But then that's when I'm like, I flip that, and then I bring people into my life and I start talking about my music. But I'm not just a black guy. I am a black man that is also named Caleb. That does this, that does that, and they're like, oh, okay, you know what I'm saying? So,
but embracing that challenge, right, being able to articulate it in that way and be unaffected by it has power, right? And that's why you're having the success that you've had, is because you haven't allowed that to become a crutch for you or some sort of setback.
Nah, I mean, I think for a young Caleb, like, I'm 20 now, but just to speak on from what we were talking about before, I was trying to get my thoughts together about what I was talking about, but I've definitely dealt with that when it first came out. Like,
right.
I've had people that hated me because of my character, because my character in season one didn't really like our 11. So people hated me for not liking her, trusting her. So,
but did they really hate you for that? Or did they, was it an excuse, which often happens a lot?
Hey, you know, no one's going to ever tell you. I tried, like, when you're younger, when I was like 14, 15, that stuff really got to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, dang, like, I'm like really a nice guy. Like, Caleb's a really nice guy, but I had to really separate. People don't really know me. You know what I'm saying? I had to separate myself from Lucas. I was living in that, you know, Lucas world, and I was like really like letting that stuff get to me. I was, you know, hurt by it, but you know, it's all good. It happens. It's the business. But like as I've gotten older, I've learned to become mentally strong and have a thick skin. Not let those things bother me, because I already have a plan and God is showing me where He wants me to be in my life. So you know,
Caleb, tell us. You obviously were affected by it. Tell us a little bit about your cat, man. How old was your cat? What was the cat's name?
His name was Christian. He passed away in November. I said recently, but that's not exactly.
That's recent.
Listen, that's recent enough. Recent.
He's been around. How long you have him for?
Well, we had him for like 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Half your life.
Basically. So. It was definitely a sad day in the McLaughlin household. You know, I'm just saying, like, but basically, like, everybody goes through the same thing. Someone, you know, we all, you know, wake up in the morning, brush our teeth, wash our face. We all stink when we don't shower. Like,
some people more than others.
Yo, Caleb, your BO's crazy. Keep it 100. 20-year-old Caleb, BO crazy.
That's crazy.
By the way, Caleb, you know why we actually met in person once? The celebrity game, and one of my favorite moments.
Caleb crossed you over?
No, so one of my favorite moments, I bring it up all the time. And I wonder how well you remember it, was I warned Hasan Minhaj on the way to the game. I said, man, don't play too much defense. You could look crazy out here. And then you crossed the hell out of Hasan Minhaj in that game.
Yes. That's funny. I remember him talking trash. And then I started warming up a little bit. I was like, let me get a little busy. So then I'm coming down the court. I did a little crossover. And he fell,
I think.
Yo, he touched earth?
I think he touched earth.
Oh, no.
I think he may have touched earth a little bit. I don't think he fell, but I think he kind of just like did that. And all I heard was,
Yo, shout out to my man Filet out there, by
the way. Speaking of basketball, though, something might be coming up soon about basketball.
Wait, what?
Like, it's a film, but I can't say exactly what it is. It should be announced very soon.
Really? Relating to you and basketball?
Not just me. It's not relating to me, but I'll be in it.
Wait, you're in White Man Can't Jump with Jack Harlow?
Exactly. No. That would be great, but another one.
Now, well, listen, man, much props to you. Much love. It was great meeting you. All the fans of Stranger Things, big up. I don't watch, but Caleb.
No, I'm going to get you, bro, on. I've been telling him.
Caleb's mad at me about it. Hopefully we stay cool, bro. You know what I'm saying?
We cool.
I'm supporting Caleb. You know what I'm saying? I don't really know this Lucas guy.
Lucas is dope, man.
Lucas is cool, man.
I don't know him, though.
He didn't
rock with the 11.
No, I'll tell you.
I don't know what that means.
I'll know with 11.
You rock with the 11. You need to watch the show. You sound crazy, man.
Yeah, you sound nuts. Caleb, I'm going to get him right, man. I'm going to get him right.
Yo, let's get into this new song. Intro the song, Caleb. Let's play it.
All right, so you guys are about to listen to some nice, what I call it, I call this frequency, but it's called Soul Travel, but I call it frequency because it's a story. You have to be on the right frequency to listen to this. You know, it's deeper than what you're listening to.
Okay.
So introducing you guys to Soul Travel, a song I've been working on not for a long time, but I've had it for a minute, but. Check it out. Soul Travel. Appreciate y'all.
Caleb McLaughlin.
Caleb.
Thank you for joining the program, sir.
Don't forget to ask your parents about the McLaughlin Group.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. The McLaughlin Group, you said?
The McLaughlin Group. Ask them if they've heard of it. And then go on YouTube and just type it on YouTube.
Or not. It's an option, too.
No, you should see it. All right, man.
Later, bro.
Peace, bro.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate y'all.
Later, man. When you get some time.
Go away. Go away. You and I, can we?
CUNY, whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David O.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. It's Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Ebro, Laura, Rosenberg. Listen, I don't go tossing the word. I really don't go tossing the word legend around lightly, Laura.
You don't.
Willy nilly. I don't. I'm sorry. Chad Hugo of the Neptunes is a legend, and he's with us today. I'm sorry.
Man, appreciate it, man.
Get nice and close to that microphone, Chad.
Woo, woo.
So yeah. What do we owe this honor? You are not a man who gets behind microphones.
Man, that's too much, man. That's too much of an intro. But I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much for supporting the Neptune. You know, what we made Pharrell and I as record producers, as the Neptunes, and what we contributed to radio and making songs that have hit the airwaves and
sure have.
Were broadcasted worldwide and all that. And I appreciate people moving and dancing. And, you know, it's just been a blessing. And I'm honored to be a part of it.
So why now? Why do interviews now? Cause you're not generally a guy who comes out and speaks a lot. So why now are you deciding to?
Yeah, I don't like talking. I don't like vocalizing. I have a small voice, and I don't really like talking about stuff. I just try to be an instrumentalist all my life, you know what I mean?
So why now?
I think that was my assignment, was to get up here and talk on the radio.
You're going to have to go. Okay, a lot of big things are happening. Let's go.
Laura included in those big things?
No, honestly, we were so happy. First of all, my husband is a huge fan. He never leaves home. He's like, I'm coming to the studio because Chad is going to be there. The Neptunes have such an incredible, like, diehard fan base. But NERD, your whole entire movement. And I know you know that. It's like a different kind of love that you guys get from your fans, like dedication. And just how does that all feel like throughout the years? People who like have studied every single record, every single remix, everything that you guys have done throughout the years and continue to support you to this day.
Wow. Jeez, I don't know. It's just, it's just always been an event to be a part of recording music and having the vibes in the room and celebrate the music, you know, just like getting together at the club and being at the studio and just vibing off stuff. That was like my interest of just seeing people of all walks of life get together and enjoy music and share the moments, and you know what I mean? So
how did it start? We know you and Pharrell have known each other since forever in Virginia Beach. Like, what was literally the first day that Chad Hugo met Pharrell Williams? Do you remember the first day?
The first day? We were enrolled in this school called the Gifted and Talented. I think we were also at this place called Kemp's Landing Middle School in seventh grade, but I didn't really know Pharrell. But when our parents enrolled us at the school, I was taking jazz lessons, playing saxophone, and Pharrell was on percussion. And we just started talking about, he was mentioning about him writing lyrics and raps and Rakim, Tribe Called Quest, Slick Rick, Bismarcky. Right. I remember him. I remember him getting Bismarcky on the phone one time. I was like, oh wow, this is crazy.
How did you get Bismarcky on the phone back then?
I have no idea.
Well, you must have been
I don't remember. I think some of the events may be kind of jumbled up in there, mismatched and whatever. But I was really, I had this four track at home. I was like, let's get together and record some songs. And, you know, I was really into the studio aspect and Like, I used to get together with some homies that were from my town called Kempsville, and I used to, like, try to, you know, there's a Dr. Rhythm beat machine that my buddy Mark had, and Ronnie used to, like, mess around with turntables and stuff like that, and just experimenting with the 808 sounds using a realistic highball mic and feedback and this and that. So just like that, like this is crazy, man. You got like all this gear and like broadcasting it. Like, oh shit, I used to dream about this stuff, you know, watching TV. And
is that like, what your like mind a
spaceship.
Was like?
Like, you guys are in a spaceship here, man. Know, this is like really a freaking a spaceship.
Wait, did you grow up in a musical household? Like, did any of your parents, you know, play instruments or sing?
There was like a piano.
Yeah.
And that my brother and sister played, and we would, you know, just play like, you know, Heart and Soul is like a favorite, like the go-to standard that everyone needs to learn how to play.
So you're just basic.
Like
a duet.
Yeah, your mom's like, you guys are going to learn an instrument.
Yeah.
You learn this piano.
Exactly. And taking lessons and, you know, don't make me fa so la ti do.
Those
type of things. And just kind of applying all those things that we learned over the years. And I like beats and rhythms and just kind of that stuff.
Chad, how many different things can you play?
Oh, I'm still learning, bro. It's like, just play saxophone. I'm learning saxophone right now.
Oh, Rick, okay.
Yeah, I picked up a saxophone after all these years, you know, and lived out in California and picked up my like an old beat up Summer Mark VI. I used to play this like Busher Aristocrat saxophone. It was really vintage and it was falling apart basically. But I had to take it to the next level and learn how to take it to the next level and just bringing it back to modern times. I saw like Barry Harris, his jazz instructor, and his those chords, just really into the chords, you know what I mean?
Well, and you always played chords, like you play guitar, you play chords on guitar, right?
Yeah.
And on bass?
I can't play that stuff. I try, man, you know, but with modern technology, editing and this and that, and geez, it's like, it's tough. I'm striving to play the right notes this day.
What was the first thing you played like actively on records when you guys were first? Because like, how would you say, for people who don't know, how would you say that you and Pharrell broke up who did what when you were producing? How would, simply put?
Oh, I don't know, bro. I mean, I don't know, Peter. I mean, geez.
He was big on the drum programming, right?
Yeah.
Pharrell was always big on the drums.
Pharrell was on the drums, yeah.
And then would you kind of be tapping into everything else?
Yeah.
Samples.
I try to make myself like a Swiss Army knife, you know? It's just like whatever skills I can bring to the table. I would just get the sounds for the palette, you know, while sampling. I had a buddy named Bink who would have these drum loops, and he lent me a few records, and I chopped them up on the ASR-10 and he'd get together and kind of just lay out the paint on the palette for the sounds, you know what I'm saying? So
do you have in the Neptune's library of hits, you know, I remember one time in like right around the time I interviewed when you guys did the Clones album, it was like the first big interview of my life, one of them. First five was Pharrell came to XM and I interviewed Pharrell for the Clones. And I remember to lead up to that, to get myself ready for the interview the night before I was DJing in the club. And I was like, I'm going to DJ for 2 hours and play nothing but Neptunes. And so I did 2 hours and this is in like 02, whenever Clones came out, like 02-ish. And for 2 hours straight, I played Neptunes in the club.
Thanks, man.
And it's not like anyone noticed. All they think they're listening to is hit after
just good
hit
music.
After
right,
hit.
Right.
Like, are there anything? What are the ones from that era that you sort of are the most attached to? Are there any that you love the most?
No, I mean, I love them all. I love them all, especially when the needle drops and they play it, and it's like, well, it goes crazy.
Do you remember Super Thug? Do you remember when Super Thug really started taking off? Like, did you guys have an idea? Like, oh man, this Noriega record's really becoming something.
Yeah, when Flex dropped that, that was a crazy moment. Yeah, he was talking about like, yeah, you know, hold on to your purses.
Right.
Crazy. You know, I can't. I try to emulate your voice, but I can't. I'm not gonna do it justice. So, but I just remember the club going crazy and you know, people just really like into it, angst and good energy. You know what I'm saying?
Do you consider that one?
Used to go to the tunnel. I love that vibe.
You know? Oh yeah, you go to the tunnel.
Yeah, I've been there two times.
And you would just sit back there and listen to your records get played in the tunnel?
Yeah.
That's got to be fun.
Yeah, super fun, yeah.
How is that? Because I remember, I think Nori talked about it either, it could have been an interview with us or a drink champs. I don't know, sometimes everything gets blurry. But he always is so thankful for that record. You know, he said that changed his life. How was it when you guys actually cooked up that record? Was he in the studio with you guys or did you guys had just present him with something? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, people would just go to the studio and we would just vibe out. And when you talk about
Nori,
yeah, of course. I mean, he was just, you know, we'd lay down the track and he would write over it and we just kind of, you know, it's always interesting when you go and watch the behind the scenes of stuff, but I always felt like that was like a spoiler alert, you know what I mean? And that's why it's like, I'm showing up to Hot 97. Spoil alert, you know. But how am I going to make a decent living?
You don't.
After this,
You don't always love seeing how the sausage is made.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Right.
And it's crazy for us. We love it, right?
All I want to see is what the ingredients are. Yeah. What about you don't have to call Usher. The story has always been that was originally you guys originally had Michael Jackson in mind for that record. Is that true? Do you remember that?
I think so, yeah.
And did you guys just were you making a pack for Michael? Like, hey, we're going to put together some stuff for Michael Jackson and see what we can get.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Pharrell was, when he wrote that song, he said it was written for Michael Jackson.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Crazy.
It must be crazy to even think that was a possibility.
Yeah.
Like when y'all got to the point where you're like, hey, maybe we'll get the song to Michael Jackson.
Maybe we'll get the song. Man, I have yet to meet Michael Jackson.
Though. Yeah, well.
But
maybe one day.
Yeah, one day.
It's going to require some different things to happen, but it's okay.
Rest in peace. Yeah.
To the great. But Usher did kill that. I think for me, You Don't Have to Call is very high on the list.
Of course.
Of the best. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I got to tell you, you guys struck gold with Nori many times. Nothing was also crazy. To this day, Nothing will still crush a party every time you play it.
Even when you hear like an artist like Sade, right? Sade, when we talk about Sade, Sade never needs a remix. You know,
smooth operator.
She doesn't need anything. But when you guys came through and remixes for Sade, it was like, it was amazing. Like, yeah. It's like what I was like, I didn't know I needed this. Like, it was such a successful, well-received remix.
They did Sade on one end, and then I noticed the other day on Spotify, they did Limp Bizkit remixes on the other end. Like, you guys did everything. Like, it was just such an unbelievable run. Another one who you guys had huge success with is obviously Busta. Between What It Is, past the Cavarsier, a lot of big records with Busta. What was what was he like in the studio? What were your experiences like with Busta?
Just tremendous energy, like really enthusiastic. Man, yeah, it's, we've had so many records, man. And like, yeah, Busta's my man.
Busta's the man, bro. You got, I don't know, I used to always love the, I love the Khalees part of what it is. Yeah. This is the beat to rock for the street.
Yeah, fire.
How
always
much
comes with the fire, yeah.
How much of that comes from you guys just messing around and sort of improvising? Because it can feel that way. Like, do you guys just kind of get in there and zone? Or is it all sort of programmed out before the artist gets on the record?
Which song in particular?
Let's say that, for example, Busta, what it is. Like, that, you know that bridge is happening. You know that's going to be there. Or is that just something that Khalees says, let me try this. And then you end up finding it.
Yeah, Pharrell and Khalees wrote that. I was there just vibing out. Recorded it on the 1680, the VSS, Roland, in stores now. I don't know.
What can you say about your time with the great Cypher Sounds? Cypher used to run around quite a bit with Star Trek.
Cypher's a funny guy.
Have you seen Cypher do comedy?
Yeah, I checked out Zach. Yeah,
he's doing stand up now as well. But those are some of the great days of his life. Was A&Ring for you guys?
A&Rs, yeah.
During the era, I know he's in the video for Frontin', I believe.
Yeah. Trust me, he would show it to us all the time.
You guys haven't seen this part. Okay, what about this one though? Where do you rank in terms of just all-time Neptune's bangers, Jay-Z, I Just Want to Love You? Because that, to me, you really think about it, it's kind of Jay-Z's biggest – that and Hard Knock Life are kind of his two biggest commercial achievements in a lot of ways. You know, that's – you're never going to go to a Jay concert and have him not perform I Just Want to Love You. So,
that's true, yeah. I Just Want to Love You. Yeah,
I mean, that's got to feel special that maybe special. The greatest ever – one of your songs is his, like, it's so a part of his catalog.
I agree. 100%.
Yeah, it's
50%.
50%? Not 100%.
20%.
We're losing.
Can you tell us about just like when you guys decided as a squad to form NERD, like the actual band, and start creating together and putting it out there? Like, tell us that story.
Which group?
NERD.
NERD. Yeah, NERD was. Oh man, I just feel
something.
Like, did you guys always feel like, yo, we're gonna have. Our dream is to have a band. Let's fucking do it. Let's just go and do this. Like, whose idea was it? Was it yours? Was it Pharrell?
Pharrell and I, we collectively, we started out as a group. There was Shay and Mike.
Yeah.
And we started out as a singing group, and we performed at the talent show at PA High School.
But what was your name back then?
My name was Chad.
No. I'm saying, like, as a group, was it always NERD, or did you guys start as something else? You know how usually people start at one point?
We started out as the Neptunes. We were called the Neptunes, and then we were the Building Children. And at one point, we were Dead Poets Society. Yeah, named
Dead Poets Society. Dead Poets Society.
Wow.
Movie,
yeah. Yeah.
What do you remember? Do you remember the first time a young Pusha T and Malice?
But don't worry, I'm not going to jump up on this desk and proclaim anything.
You Dead Poets Society style?
Yeah.
Do you remember when Pusha T and Malice first started showing up as high school kids?
Yeah, they showed up at the crib and started writing rhymes. And
Did you know they were dope right away?
I knew they were dope. I knew with what we were going to put together in the studio was gonna be something, you know, just the beats gotta hit hard, you know what I mean?
And boy, it's gotta go,
and it's gotta, you know, like,
is Lord Willin, would you argue Lord Willin is one of the best produced albums you guys ever did?
Yeah, Lord Willin.
I mean, from beginning to end, it's just a masterpiece.
Thank you.
God damn. you know.
God damn, it's
I mean, Grindin', of course, is one of the most regarded party records of all time. Yeah. And also, listen, congratulations, man. You're going into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Does that honor mean a lot to you?
Thank you.
It's pretty cool.
Thank you. It's huge.
It's an illustrious list.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, listen, Chad, listen, you may be uncomfortable with it, but you are, in fact, a legend. The greatest, maybe greatest production team in hip-hop history. You know, shout out to the Trackmasters. Shout out to all the great.
Shout out Trackmasters.
Shout out to all the great production teams that there have been. But I don't know that there's ever been one or ever will be one as massive as the Neptunes, man. So it was a treat for us to get to talk to you a little bit, man, and pop by the show.
Thanks for having me, man. Thanks for
Anytime, you are welcome. His name is Chad Hugo.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.